Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Jesus. In the places, my chosen friend. I fell on my face just the other day. If some of my so-called friends found out, maybe they would have said,
drop it. We don't need it.
But I ran to the friend of all friends. His arms were wide open. He picked me up and put me back together again. He's my closest friend.
My flaws, then you gave your only life for a friend. Nah, love so real, you don't pretend to, and you don't treat me like my friends do. Cause when they don't understand, they hate me. You always understand, rebuke in love, then you embrace me.
Love so real, I like how it feels.
How could I ever do without you? How could I ever be without you? I could never go a day without you. Live my life in pain without you. Till that day when all this ends, you still be my closest friend. The only friendship that I want is yours. My everything, my heart is yours.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And so if you would, go ahead and get pencil and paper and prepare to take some notes as we get into the Word for today. Remember, we are here to strengthen your walk in the Lord, so that you will be able to accomplish in this year those things that God has laid upon your heart. You're the only one that can connect with God in this way for your life. So if you would, join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place because of your Word, because of your Spirit, because of your Lord, your love. Be it big in me, I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living Word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to get into the topic of being sharp in the spirit. This will be part two, and we'll kind of see how far we can get this week. You know, it's a good thing that, again, as we go into another calendar year, that we pay attention to the things that are important. And I know typically we would deal with our goals and progress and plans. And we garner the inertia to strengthen our resolve and press forward into our callings and petitions of life. But I want to kind of deepen that resolve this time. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, it reads, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." In chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." See, God wants us to grow up in him, to be the reflection of him in the earth. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So as we face times that we've never seen before in the history of mankind, things are coming at us faster with more severity than ever before. And it's going to require the wisdom of God to turn things in the direction that he wants them to go. There is a way that seems right, but the end of that way is destruction. So we need to align ourselves with what God is saying, what God is doing, and what God is wanting. It's not just about us. It's about him, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. See, we have been given a land lease at best. And so because of that, we need to find out what the Creator wants to have happen in the seasons of our life. See, if we're not sharp in the spirit, then we'll just try to do what we think is convenient or what we believe is necessary in the season that we find ourselves in. But see, God is interested in the season you haven't entered into yet, because he's already preordained your destiny. And if we're not walking with him, if we're not agreeing with him, then those things that he wants to get done can't get done, because we are out of season, disjointed, if you would. See, now, because of all of the tumult that's happening, we need to be sharp. I don't want to try to sharpen just my intellect. I don't want to just sharpen my resolve if that's not a resolve in the spirit. He told us to walk in the spirit. And as we walk in the spirit, we will not just end up fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. If we walk in the spirit, we will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that men set up so that they can lie in wait to deceive. See, it's not just a feel-good story that God has written for you and I. He has written and ordained our steps in faith, not just an emotional connection. And today we have more people interested in a emotional and maybe even physical connection than to walk in destiny and walk in purpose. See, it takes connection with God to desire to even walk in purpose. Walking in purpose is different than walking in success only. Success looks good to men, but might not have God as his primary objective. When I walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit, I'm going to be the one that is filled with the Spirit. See, that's where victory resides, beloved, resides in that place. For in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. This is what we should be executing day by day, is what does God want and how can I execute that? Turn to Psalms 37, please. And we'll review some things that we talked about last time. Psalms 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth the wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance scriptures are given, so that I could learn how to become sharp in the spirit." The first thing he tells us here is to fret not myself. I thought that was kind of interesting. He didn't say let other people cause you to fret. He says you have control over the fret that you allow in your life. You have authority over the amount of fear that you release into your life. I would submit to you that it should be none, but it's still your choice. He says, don't fret yourself thinking about evildoers. You know, it's kind of interesting that he would place that in our hearing in the time where evil seems to be ruling and running amok. He said, what I want you to do is not to fret yourself, okay? I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to do that so that we can end up in our destiny. If I am fretting and if I am causing myself to be the one that engages in this fret, I will never get to my destiny. I might get to a place that's better than others, but that's not my destiny. We're going to have to, like I say, go back to the Word and allow the Word to give us our instructions and let him finish in the process. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. If they're coming at you, don't you fret yourself. If they seem to be prospering, he said, don't fret yourself. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us to rejoice in the Lord, and then he specifies a time to do that. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, rejoice. Once you get through with always, start over and do it again. You really can't find fret in your life if you rejoice always. See, I mean, he really gives us a real easy path to follow. The thing that causes us issue is we detach ourselves from that flow. The time frame that he specified was always. Amen. When you hear of troubles and the way it says in Luke chapter 21, he said, you will hear wars and commotion. I just thought that was interesting because usually when I quote the scripture, you will hear wars, I'm finishing the sentence by saying, and rumors of wars. But he said you will hear wars and commotion. That was just good because that allows me to know that even if it's not a wartime and I see things not going right, I can hear and look for him in the commotion. You know, it's up to us to settle ourselves in the Lord. Okay? He says it in Ephesians. Again, I've quoted it, but I'll say it again. He says it, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When do you think you would need to be strong? Would it not be in the midst of commotion? So I love that because it tells me I can be strong in the midst of commotion. And how do I do that? By not fretting myself. See, I should be anchored in the power of the word. I should be anchored in the peace of the word. I found that my obedience speaks because obedience is connected to faith. Obedience is connected to my relationship being proved in the heavenly places. I am not interested in trying to prove my relationship to God in the flesh. Amen. Just wanted to let you know that. Ephesians chapter 3 says that the wisdom of God is going to be made manifest by the church to the principalities, powers, and dominions and might in the demonic or in the heavenly. Okay? See, one of the things I guess that we do, let's just look at so you can see that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm coming back to Psalms. But I just want you to see this. So that you will know not only where your fight is, but how to win in the fight. Okay? Starting at verse 9 in chapter 3. Okay. Starting at verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gifts of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Notice the connection he wants us to have. He wants us to have connection to the effectual working. Not the supposed working, the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the mystery of what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, watch this, to the intent that now, unto principalities, powers, in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I just want you to see that all men get to see what I'm displaying in the heavenlies. I'm not displaying it in the flesh. See, if I'm just trying to keep up with the Joneses, that's good, sir. I missed this whole thing. I am required to walk with Jesus. Keep up with Jesus, not keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses are not going to cause my future to be better. Walking with Jesus would cause my future to be made right. He has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth. not walk in pride. When I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses, I would be very simply walking in pride. See, that's not being sharp in the spirit. That's being very, very dull in the spirit and trying to be sharp in the flesh. See, I don't have to prove anything to anybody on the earth. It says that men would see. It didn't say that I would try to prove. Unto me, let's read it again, chapter 3, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. To see what my connection with God is. If I'm not trying to display my connection with God, then I ain't got nothing to say. Because when I'm talking to, when I'm spending all my time talking to men and not my time displaying to the heavenlies, I'm going to be dealing with the heavenlies more than I'm going to be dealing with the men. Because the heavenlies will tell the men what to do. Men are influenced by spirits, holy or unholy, doesn't matter. They're not the ones in charge. You remember it was stated in my generation that the devil made me do it. It was a comedic point, but it was still true. There were spirits that caused you to do it. The Bible says that we are taken captive by the devil at his will. See? So then if I submit myself to God, now I can resist the devil and he'll flee. And then I get my life to flow the way he said it should, because in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. I will make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus, to the intent. You might want to circle, underline that. Because this, I'm going to make the men see, because I'm displaying two principalities and powers in the heavenly places, that this might be known the manifold by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. According to this is what God has always planned. This is what God has always wanted. This is his eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay? And then he goes on to state a prayer here, and then a statement of faith here, so that we would then be connected. We would become sharp in the spirit. Okay? Because if I'm not functioning as one that's sharp in the spirit, I'm going to be pushed around by this or the other. I'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, he said. Okay? So a wise man is going to be the man that hears instruction and then becomes wiser. He increases in learning. Okay, please hear me. It said that a wise man increases in learning. It didn't say a wise man increases in displays of pride. See, our obedience speaks, because faith has a voice. The righteousness which is by faith speaketh on this wise. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. It says it speaks. So our obedience speaks, because faith has a voice. Everything in the spirit has a voice. Love speaks. Peace speaks. Praise speaks. Hope speaks. Joy speaks. See? So we've got to know and understand that. It's displaying my position of heart in the heavenlies. It's showing it to God and to demons. I mean, we just got to get to know this. In Colossians chapter 3:17 tells us that whatever we do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God, doing it in the name of Jesus. See, we've got to stop trying to please people. I was talking to my boss Apostle Arturo Anuza, and he was giving me some understanding that I hadn't thought about before. He said that God is a God that takes note. He does inspections. And when you pass one inspection, you go to the next level. If you don't pass the inspection, you don't get to go to the next level. And he brought that out. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And these are scriptures that we've all known and heard about, but we didn't think about it as the way God is trying to get things done, the way God moves in the earth. Okay? Notice this. First thing out the chute. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. I had run over this scripture all of the time. It said God did what? He inspected the light. He saw that it was good. That was not an occasion for pride in the spirit. That was an occasion of the inspection of the Holy Ghost. And he does that in our lives each and every day. You get a word from God because God, come on, look at it just as it's written. It said, and God said, and then he inspected what he said. Did you catch that? He gave you a promise, and then he inspected how you appropriated that promise. He gave you a command, and then he inspected how you obeyed that command. And then if you don't obey the command, then you don't get to go to the next phase of life. Notice this. He saw that the light, and it was good. And God then divided. He went to the next process. Without the inspection, there is the next step. I mean, there is not the next step. I mean, did you get that? Notice he said, he saw, and then he moved. Okay, you might want to write that down. God said, God saw, then he acted, then he moved. It's going to be the same thing every time in your life. He's going to give you instructions. He's going to inspect whether you follow those instructions, and then he's going to allow the next step, the move of God. I mean, we all say that we're looking for, believing for, waiting on the move of God, but then we don't do what he said. There will be no move if there is no obedience. Our obedience speaks. I'm hoping that you connect the dots here. This is the way it is in the very beginning. This is Genesis, first book. Understand, write it down. God said, he saw, and then he moved. Okay? God said, let there be. He saw and said it was good. Then he divided. And God called the day, the night, the light, day, and the darkness, light, night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Next verse 6. And God said, that he's back to his saying, and goes his word, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under from the firmament, which the waters from which above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the day were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. And the dry land appeared, and it was so. And God called the day, called the dry land earth, and the gathering together he called the seed. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, I mean, this process happens all throughout of this. I found that there were 6 days, but 7 inspections. Yeah, interesting. See? So, and that's why the 8 is the new beginning, because he's now allowing us to walk in the new beginning, because he's already said and inspected, and he gave us an opportunity to do what he told us when he said, be fruitful, multiply. He said, and then he's going to inspect, and then the next move. I mean, I just want you to kind of get this. We try to get away from conviction of the Holy Ghost, God's inspection, if you would. We just go all willy-nilly about life, not paying attention to what he said, and then when we don't pay attention to what he says, we don't even pay attention to how we do it. We offer him whatever we want to offer him. And you ought to be glad that I'm giving you this, God. This is what happened with Cain and Abel. God did not have respect unto Cain's offering because he didn't care how he gave it to him. God said, God saw, then God moved. I mean, right there, I just gave you ammunition to be able to turn things around in your life. Go back to the last thing that God said, because that's the thing he is inspecting. Not only is that the thing he is expecting, that's the thing he is inspecting. Amen. Okay? Come on. God looks on the heart. That tells me he is inspecting, doesn't it? He's not looking at the outward appearance. He's inspecting the heart. You can fool people by the outward appearance. So God is not having his inspection on the outward thing. Cain and Abel showed us that. He had no respect for the outward appearance. See? So God looks at the thing by what he said. He said, he saw, he then moved. Okay? Again, verse 10, God saw what he said, and he said it was good. Verse 12, he said, the earth brought forth seed, and herb-bearing seed after its kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then you go on down to verse 17, and God set in the firmament of the heavens to give, this is when he said, how to give light upon the earth. And he said, and to rule over the day and the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was what he said was good. And then in verse 21, he created the whales and every living creature that moveth in the waters, which bringeth brought forth abundantly after their own kind, and every winged fowl and after his kind. And God saw what he said, and it was good. Then he made man in his image, and he saw man, and he said it was very good. I mean, you got to get the concept here that God is going to speak, he's going to investigate what he spoke, and then he's going to move because people have done what he said he wanted them to do. This is how it's worked from the beginning. Okay, first thing out the chute. And it's not so that, okay, see, it's not punitive. All right, maybe that's what we're thinking. It's not punitive. Please notice, God said, God saw, and he stated good. He didn't state bad. I mean, do you get that? He's looking for good. He's not looking for bad. He's not up there with a big hammer and going to zap you down when you mess up. He's expecting good because he is love. Is that correct? And love believes all things, hopes all things. Uh-huh. So he's not trying to say something so he can beat you up. It's not punitive, beloved. That's not God. He says, fret not yourself, verse 1 of Psalm 37. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. But they shall. I love the word shall there. That is an absolute imperative. They shall be cut down. And I yesterday when I was ministering this, I looked at it, and we should understand that he said evildoers are as insignificant to God and should be as insignificant in your life as grass. Okay, he didn't say that they will be cut down like trees. That would be something that's predominant. He said they'll be cut down like grass. Amen. And he says, and they will be as a withered green herb. A withered green herb has already lost its strength because it is withered. It is beginning the process of decay. See, when you see a withered green herb, you might think it's still good, but it is already participating in death. Just all you have to do is keep waiting, and you will see the death grip on the thing and the insignificance of the thing. They shall soon be cut down. As that which is insignificant, as that which is dying. Trust in the Lord and do good. Please hear his instructions here. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Because when you trust and do, then the word that is spoken becomes active, and God, who is looking for the activity of the word, can now take you to the next level so that you shall dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is how you become sharp in the spirit. You believe God, trust God, and understand that when he gives a word, I don't have to try to help that word out. Now, instead of trying to coerce God into doing something, trying to trick God into doing something, I can delight myself in the Lord. And now watch his motion. When he sees, he moves. Then he just said, he will give me the desires of my heart. He didn't say I earned them. He said he wants to give them to me. This is 2021 calendar year. We need to stop trying to convince God that we are his children that love him when we haven't done what he said. He told us here, don't. These are steps, beloved. These are steps. This is not, let's say this. This is a pattern, okay? I'm not going to give it to you as steps. Because steps mean that I'm going to do this without heart intent. I'm just going to do this in a rote manner and expect the results. No, he's checking your heart. Okay? So this is a type. This is a shadow. Okay? Pattern. Don't fret. Don't be envious. Trust. Do good. Dwell. Delight. I mean, do you hear these one-word commands? See, he's asking us to do that so that he... He made it so simple. One-word commands. See? Trust. Delight. Do. Why? Because then there should be no confusion, should it? Because I can maybe hear something that's lengthy in its delivery, and I get lost between the first and second word. He didn't give us that choice. He gave us one word directive here. Okay? Trust, do, dwell, delight. There's simplicity in Christ Jesus. So then when you find yourself not understanding what you wanted to hear, because I'm not believing that you out of his mouth comes wisdom. Out of his mouth comes understanding. Come on, y'all. Out of his mouth comes wisdom and understanding. Did you get that? That's what came out of his mouth. Why am I then going to say I don't understand? He didn't talk in a manner that I could not understand. Out of his mouth comes understanding. Glory to God. See, the devil is the one, I don't know why we just listen to that, the devil is the one that brings confusion. Please get this concept. Confusion, the devil is the author of it. Is that what God said? I'm not the author of confusion. Again, out of his mouth comes wisdom and understanding. So when I'm hearing the devil speak, I am hearing confusion. I'm going to hear doubt. That was the conversation he brought in Genesis, and he said, hath God said? And Adam already knew what God said. Eve already knew what God said. She even tried to give the devil the information. She added a word, and then that's when the devil said, oh, no. My confusion has been affected. Because she said, God has said, we shall not eat thereof, neither shall we touch it. That's not what God said. So his confusion was effective. And then he said, no, see, the reason that he said that was so that he would make you to be like him. He didn't want you to be like him. Because when you eat this fruit, you're going to be like him. See, the confusion was set in because when Adam and Eve were made, they were made in the image. They weren't lacking anything. But because the devil is trying to sow confusion, because when he gets confusion in, the Bible tells us in the book of James that when there is envy and strife, there is confusion, and confusion gives way to every evil work. See? This is just real simple. One word commands. I don't have to go and interpret that, do I? Trust. Delight. Do. See? It's so simple. A babe can understand that. See? That's what God wants us to be. Children, except you become like this child, you're not going to enter in. You might hang around, but you won't enter in. I'm interested in entering in. I need to be in the place where the flow of God happens in my life consistently. He said, if I would trust and do good, I would dwell in the land, and truly, verily, I will be fed. My supply is guaranteed. See? That's why I can delight myself in the Lord. Okay, please, come on, let's look at these things. He said, I'm supposed to delight myself. I'm not supposed to try to get other people to pump me up and make me feel good so that I would be able to then get them on my bandwagon as supporters. No, he told me to delight myself in the Lord. And then because of that position of delight, he will then give me the desires of my heart. He did not say that when I delight myself in the Lord, I can delineate what I want. He said when I delight myself in the Lord, my eyes would be open and he would give me desires. That puts the promise in full effect in my life there, okay? The other one causes me to enter into a position of lust. My Heavenly Father knows what things I have need of before I ask. And it says it pleases the Father to give me the whole kingdom. Glory to God. See? But I've got to decide that I'm going to delight myself so that he can then give me If I don't delight myself and I'm trying to get the things that I want, that's me pimping God, isn't it? Okay? I mean, this is just, it's kind of simple. I want to be sharp in the spirit. I've got a lot of teaching notes, but I'm trying to bring home the point that God wants to be able to show himself strong in your behalf. He wants you to be able to enjoy the things by his spirit. So delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Then he says again, one word, one of these one word descriptors, commit your way unto the Lord. You know, when you, like I said, I mentioned this yesterday, when a person jumps out of a place of safety, jumps out of a building, he has committed to the fall. There is no going back then, is it? See, you can't get back up in the building if you jumped from the building. You are committed to the fall. See, so God is asking you to commit your way unto the Lord. See, we found out that my love speaks and my faith speaks and my hope speaks and my joy speaks, my peace speaks and my praise speaks, all of my obedience speaks. Well, now he's looking for the conversation of my way, isn't he? Amen. He wants my thoughts, doesn't he? Because my thoughts are what precede my way, every time, all the time. Commit my way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, another one of those one-word descriptors, and wait patiently for him. See? I mean, you can just see that when I decide to do what he said here, there's going to be some action because he's inspecting what he said. And my obedience to what he said causes him to move. Again, going back through the verses here, he says, trust, delight, receive, commit, shine, rest. Those are the first ones. Okay? Trust in the Lord. Do good. So you can put that one there. Trust, do, delight, receive. Commit your way. Then he said, when you do that, now he's looking for you to shine. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light. Okay. He said he would bring forth your righteousness, and people will understand that as illumination. Is your righteousness illumination? As other people look at it, do they have a desire to be righteous because you are righteous, or do they have a desire to keep up with the Joneses? When I allow him to bring forth my righteousness, they will desire to walk in light. Come on, y'all. See, if I'm doing this thing out of pride, they're just going to walk around trying to get what I got to keep up with the Joneses. But if I allow God to do it, then they will come to the place where my righteousness becomes their illumination now. That's what Jesus did. He walked and we saw he was made our righteousness. He was made the desire that we would have to be righteous. See? When we do it right, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will then draw all men unto me. The righteousness should be an invitation. And a lot of times in our lives, we have perceived righteousness as a snub-nosed attempt to make me change. See, I believe we've been doing things just a little bit wrong. See, if our righteousness does not make someone else thirsty and hungry, then there's no way they're going to get fed. If we don't make our righteousness the thing that makes people thirsty, then they're going to be easily deceived because they're thinking that our success, come on, y'all, they're thinking then that our success is what we're releasing as the light that they're supposed to walk in. See? He's wanting us to do, he wants us to display the wisdom from being smart, sharp in the spirit. We're supposed to be the ones that cause people to want to come and investigate what God is inspecting as we walk in obedience. How did you do that? Why did you do that? We're supposed to let them be inquisitive because God is saying about what he can see in what we do good. Isn't that what he said about Jesus? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He just said, my son doing good. He wants to say that about you. He wants to say that about me in this season when there's all hell breaking loose because we choose to trust in the Lord and let him give us the desires of our hearts. We're submitted to committing our way to God and trusting in him so that he can then bring it to pass. Then that tells and proves that we are resting in the Lord and that we are ministering from a position of patience. The word patience means to be consistently, constantly the same. So when I'm trusting in the Lord, when I'm resting in the Lord, I can be consistently, constantly the same. See? And then I don't have to keep my eyes on somebody else. Because God said, if I would do these things, if I would trust, delight, receive, commit, shine, and rest, then I would be able to know that he's going to do his part. Give me the desires of my heart. Again, I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I can just keep up with my God. Is not my God the one that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can dare, ask, or think? But it is according to the power that works, that's alive on the inside of me. See, my connection with God, my covenant, my grace is what he's wanting to do. And then he said, don't fret myself. This is twice he said, don't fret. So, I mean, we got to pay attention. When God says a thing twice, you should pay attention. Okay? He means that thing. He's going to say it three times. Watch this next verse. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. That's a divine witness. Fret not yourself. So then I have no ability from the Bible, no resolve from the Bible to ever be in a position of fret. Okay, he spoke it three times, once to my flesh, my body, once to my spirit, and once to my soul. Fret not, fret not, fret not. Because when I stop doing that, look at this, y'all. Come on, come on, come on, come on. When I stop fretting myself, I now help God cut evildoers off. Wow. I didn't help God deliver me from my trials. I helped God cut evildoers off. That's what it said here. See, I will stop the process by which they were able to even enter and participate in my life. I will allow God to cause them to be cut off. Amen. Don't you remember it says in Psalms 8 that through praise and worship, he steals the enemy and the avenger. He stops it. But if I would wait or minister unto the Lord, that's what the word wait means. If I would have my conversation with him, minister unto him, I ain't got time to talk to the devil. I ain't got time to go find 15 people that agree with me. I'm going to talk to God, those that minister to the Lord. Those are the ones that shall inherit. It did not say those are the ones that's going to work for whatever they need. It says they are going to inherit. An inheritance is understood better this way. An inheritance would be grace, because mercy is when you do the thing but you don't get what you deserve. God had mercy upon you. Grace is when you did the thing but God gives you what you don't deserve. That would be an inheritance. I didn't work for it. I don't deserve it. Someone wanted to give it to me. It is an inheritance. An inheritance is provided by someone other than me. A reward is provided by me. When you go to work, you get the reward for going to work. It's called a paycheck. But when you have someone who's rich in your family and they go on to be with the Lord, you get their inheritance. Amen. I mean, which one do you think you'd rather have? The one that caused sweat, pain, and frustration to be in your life? Or the one that blessed your life from the beginning through the end? Amen. See? That's what you could have. Because he said it would be the inheritance. The meek. It's okay, let's go back and see this. The meek shall inherit, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. And if that wasn't enough, if my inheritance was not enough for me, look at this. Then he said, and. The word and is a conjunction, isn't it? That means on top of. And they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. They will not just delight themselves in peace. They will delight themselves in a whole bunch of peace. The abundance of peace. See, this is how we become sharp in the spirit. See, we eliminate fret in our life by doing what he said, by trust, delight, do, command, receive, commit, shine, rest, and cease. Verse 8 says, stop doing stuff. You know, the definition for insanity is to do the same thing, expecting different results. He says, I need for you to stop doing some things. Stop the fretting. Stop the revenge. See? You don't have to stop proving that you're right. Again, we saw that in Ephesians chapter 3, that the intent of the whole thing was to show to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God, and this is his eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus. See, you will be those that not only inherit the earth, but delight yourself in the abundance of peace. That's just good. Now the power of God can affect change and empower you with insight, strength, and clarity. So even when we don't know what to say, our obedience takes up the slack and presents glory to our God, who is the righteous judge, the everlasting Father, who's always listening to the position of our hearts. My obedience speaks. Not only does my obedience speak, now my thanksgiving is found in the place of his actions Because when God sees his word being done, then he moves. He saw, he inspected, he moved. Every time. That's what you see in Genesis. God said, he saw, he then moved. You cannot get to the next phase of whatever is necessary in your life if you did not pass the inspection on the last phase. So if God's not moving, then go back and find out what was the last thing he told you and do that, because then he will inspect that. And from what we can see, this inspection takes place every day. Amen. Today, if you will hear his voice. So then this thing of not having what you need can really be resolved in one day. Amen. If you will hear his voice today and then do the thing, trust in the Lord and do good. See? I mean, we can fix these things, y'all. He's given us the power and the ability to straighten it out and get out of the frustration immediately. He hastens to perform his word. See? That's what he wants to do for us. But here we are complaining and murmuring because we don't see what we think we need. But we haven't done what he said do. Follow his instructions. And he made simple one-word commands. Trust, delight, do, receive, commit, shine, rest, cease. See? Now, because of that, my thanksgiving will then be found in the place of his action. My worship can be replaced in the place, or can be released in the place of my expectation. See, his actions and my expectations can be two different things, can function at two different times. I'm trying to get them to function as one. That because my expectation comes out of my thanksgiving that he made the promise, my obedience lines up, and now his inspection will release to my expectation. His action is very simply waiting on an inspection of approval. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. That's what Mary told him. He said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. There's something special about him. He watches what you do. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, because of this, we can expect breakthrough, healing, deliverance. We can expect to be made whole. For God is looking for those who will give him an opportunity to display this grace and power. His eyes run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. Look at Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. See, God is inviting us. He's always inviting us into that which is better, a better version of ourselves, a better life that we can exist, that we can cohabitate with him. I didn't want to leave the word exist out there because Jesus didn't come so that you can exist. He came that you might have life. But I am I'm supposed to be a joint heir with Jesus. See? I'm supposed to be able to enjoy this now. Chapter 33 of Jeremiah, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of the prison. It's interesting that God is talking to the man in jail, in a bad time, okay? And he's going to bring him a promise. Every time God wants to deliver, he wants to send his word to deliver. That's what it says in Psalms 107, verse 20, that he sent his word to heal and to deliver. He sent a word. See, first he speaks, then he inspects, then he moves. If you don't believe the word and act upon the word, his inspection will not be passed, and you cannot expect the deliverance. Came unto him saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. He said, the Lord is the maker, and he is the one that formed it, and the reason he formed it was to establish it. Okay? So then God is not sending you a word that he did not form to establish. He's not trying to hold nothing back. He gave you the word so that he can establish the word. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. He wants you to, he's inviting you into the process of victory each and every day of your life. And as you begin to process information from that point of view, you get to enjoy all of the good. When he inspects his statement that he wants to release over your life is, that was good. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11. See, he's wanting to bless you. The Lord daily loads you down with benefits. He didn't say the Lord is stingy in benefits. It says, blessed be the Lord God who daily loads us down with benefits. That's his plan for you. He's wanting to use the obedience to cause people to know, again, he said that your righteousness would be the light. That would be the thing that would draw people, because your relationship with God has been developed and is showing glory day by day. And so that draws people in. What must I do to be saved? What can I do to walk in this glory? What can I do to enjoy good and his hand? See, we don't have to then try to trick and con God into something. He said, daily load. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Come on. See, we don't have to trick him. See, when you live like this, then you get to enjoy like this. This is what he said. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you live like this every day, you can enjoy from the everyday living. If you live like this every once in a while, you will then be forced to deal with things once in a while. I'll get a victory. Once in a while, I'll get a breakthrough. Once in a while, I'll understand this and like it. But if I live this, I'll be able to go into the place of abundance. I will delight myself in the abundance of peace. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, and he formed it to establish it. He's looking for opportunity to show himself strong. He's looking for opportunity to prove his faithfulness in your life. And he knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. Okay? The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He's not trying to show you a little thing. He's trying to show you something that is great and mighty. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. He's trying to show you things with an S that are great and mighty. Amen. That's the abundance of peace, isn't it? See? And he said, I want to do this beyond your thought capacity, beyond what you don't know. See? This is how God wants us to activate the promises and walk in them, to let him just do a God thing. We want to live in the and suddenlies of life. The I don't even know how he did it things of life. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great. That would have been enough. But he said great and mighty things that you didn't know. See? He gives us eternal access into his face. You know why he gives us, wants us to seek his face? Because words come out of his face. Words come out of his face. Truth comes out of his face. Hope comes out of his face. Faith comes out of his face. Victory comes out of his face. See? So call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Seek my face and I'll be able to show you what I've wanted to do all along. What my word has given you from the jump street. See? When you do that, consistently living like that, you cause the victory that he's set up for you to be enjoyed by you. For 1 John chapter 5, a couple of verses in here. I mean, it starts from the very beginning all the way through the thing. He says, whosoever, verse 1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him begat, loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begot of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, for his commandments are not grievous. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So he said, this is the victory that you should be walking in. You should be walking in faith, and your faith speaks. Your obedience speaks. See? This is what he wants us to do. Let's go down to verse 14. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, we don't have to be guessing about this. We don't have to be in a place where we're hoping. See, when I walk in confidence, I live in victory. Lord, I sound this so good. When I walk in confidence, I live in victory. I align my heart with this every day, all day. See? I don't try to argue with the word of God, because the word of God that I decide that I'm going to trust in, delight in, do, receive, commit to, shine, and rest in while I see from my own work. See, my way begins to change because this is what he told me to do. Yeah. Yeah. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Like this. Wow. It says in verse 1, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. He says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, he wants my way, because he told me to commit my way unto the Lord. Commit my way unto the Lord. Then he said, commit my works unto the Lord, and he will make my thoughts line up. You see how this thing is, he's wanting us to grow. These are all invitations. I call them one-word descriptors. They are invitations and commandments. See? But they are so simple that you don't need no argument in them. The reason why we have issues with this is because we're still thinking that some kind of way there's going to be some better information coming, a better or easier way. No, this is the easy way. Just commit to it. Don't keep arguing with it. Don't keep trying to wish it would be so. Commit to it. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is tested. Okay. And then Hebrews chapter 1, just want you to see these things. They work line upon line. See? We do, once you do the first thing, he speaks, he inspects, he moves. That's what we saw in Genesis. God said, he saw that it was good, then he moved. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and manners, divers manners, spake in times past unto us by the fathers, unto the fathers by the prophets. He did this in times past. Verse 2. Has in these last days, that be these days right here, spoken unto us by his Son, by his word, who we've appointed heir of all things, by whom he made also made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. He said everything that God does is being held up by his word. He's upholding ALL things. So then when I do his word, that thing that I need in my life is going to come to pass because it is upheld by the word. See? I mean, we got to get that. And in chapter 2 of this same book, it says that we should not let any promise slip. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. So we should pay more attention to his word than we do our feelings. Isn't that what they just said? We should pay more earnest heed to the things that we have heard instead of the way that we feel. Amen. He gave us our emotions, but he settles us with his word. If you're going to be one that is emotionally driven, you will be tossed to and fro. He settles us with his word. You remember when the disciples were in the boat and they were being tossed to and fro? And they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he was asleep in the back part of the boat. And he woke up and he spoke a word. He said, peace. Be still. He settles us by his word. Their emotions had them to participate in the tossing that was taking place. But he got up, woke up, and spoke a word, and it settled the situation and arrested their emotions. And they said, what manner of man is this? And Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? What you mean, how we ain't got no faith? Well, before he went to sleep in the back of the boat, he told them, let's go over to the other side. Those were his words. And he wanted to inspect the faith that they had in the words by saying, it don't matter what winds come, what waves do. We're going to the other side. And then they say, don't you care that we perish? And he said, how is it that you didn't believe what I said? How is it that you have no faith? He's upholding all things by the word of his power. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Your victory has already entered your hearing. Glory to God. Your victory has already come into your ears. It's already come into your ears. It said he sent his word. It didn't say he will send his word. Amen. See, you've already heard it. Now you're going to have to get to the place where you trust, delight, receive, commit, shine, rest, and cease. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression of disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great soteria, so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. He don't want you to let this slip, because he's wanting to do great signs, wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. He wants to do that. See? He's looking to do that. Why? Because in Hebrews chapter 4, he says this. Just flip over there. Just some tying some things together and giving you the understanding of the principles that he's already established in his word. Verse 6, chapter 4. Seeing therefore it remaineth to some that must enter therein, and to they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain date, saying unto David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, that's the word, Jesus is Joshua there, there would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remaineth, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest has ceased from his own works as God did. Let us, therefore, labor to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is alive, it is quick, it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. He knows that you're going to have trouble with your soul. So if you take the word of God and use it, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will pierce and divide asunder the challenges that you have in your soul from what you know in your spirit, and the joints and the marrow. And this word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted as we, like as we were, yet without sin. Because of this, let us therefore, when you see the word therefore, back up and see what it's there for. Because of the word of God is quick and powerful, and it is sharper. You can utilize it to divide the problems in your soul and from your spirit. You can divide the joints and the marrow and get him to discern the thought and the intent of the heart. Therefore, because of this, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and that we may find the help that's present in the time of need. See, that's what he wants us to do. That's the place that he's inviting us to. Therefore, let us come. He didn't say let us stay away. He's inviting us into this victory, because he speaks, he inspects, then he moves. See? So then you can put yourself in position by saying, okay, Lord, I heard your word. I'm going to give you an inspection that you can say well done about. I'm not going to give you an inspection that at the end of it, you'll say, no, 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 you don't believe, you don't trust. So then if you don't trust, you can't delight. If you don't delight, then you will not receive. If you do not receive, you cannot do. If you do not do, you cannot commit. This is line upon line, precept upon precept. So that you can enter into the things that he has for you. But the choice is yours. Which way will you do it? Your way or God's way? Will you continue to doubt and have fear? Will you continue to think that God is joking or is telling you something different? Or would you allow the word of God to be your anchor and to be your rudder? That you walk in truth and cause him to have pleasure. He has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth. He's waiting on you today. Your way or God's way. God, we just thank you. And we just bless you that you sent the word to heal us. And you've illuminated that word so that we can understand. Because out of your mouth comes wisdom. Out of your mouth comes understanding. And so we thank you that as we hear your word, understanding is now present. And we will no longer argue with the word. But we will submit ourselves and commit ourselves to doing that word. So that we can enjoy good. Because you inspect our commitment and obedience. In this time, in this day, we give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, beloved, you can go back and study and look at the things he set up in Psalms 37, 11, 1 through 11. You can see what he said in Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3. You can look back and see what he said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and also 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3, chapter 2, 1 through 4, chapter 4, 12 to 18. You can see what he's wanting to do. And then next week we'll get back into this and pick it up and look at what he wants to do because of the things that's in his heart. But he's waiting on you. So if this ministry has been a blessing to you and you have any comments or any concerns or questions about the ministry, I'm going to give you an opportunity to bring those up now. So area code 404-552-4742. You have the mic. Area code 404-552-4742. You have the mic. Any questions, comments, or concerns about the ministry tonight? Amen. So then, we would like to just thank you all for, again, participating in the ministry, letting us come into your place of listening. So that we can bless you. And if God lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, go ahead and be obedient because we will continue to be praying for you, praying with you, agreeing that as you sow, that the blessing of the Lord that causes you to be rich and not have sorrow will be made evident, that the thing that God has dropped in your spirit that he wants to do, he'll be able to complete that thing. Because of him looking and inspecting your obedience in what he said when he said give, and he loves a cheerful giver. So we just thank you again until we come together again here next Monday at 9 o'clock. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto you and be gracious unto you and give you is peace. Shalom.